Welcome to MPT Podcast. This is Pastor Tim Wilbanks. We pray that this Word of God will bless your life and ministry and increase God's blessing upon you. Matthew 11 and 12. God Almighty. When hell rises up and fights us, I'm always looking around. We fix to have some church or harvest is fixing to come. But I've learned the older I get, you learn to pastor wiser. And you learn to pastor with a backbone. Matthew 11 and 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, until somebody shout now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. We suffer violence. We suffer violence. And the violent take it before us. Father, I love you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to my soul, my spirit, for these great people. God, I know they're weary and they're tired because they've labored in this old hard world. Their minds have battled their own slaughter, the enemy, and God, the circumstances of the battle they face. God, I know they've been battle-worn. But I pray tonight, help me, God, take the faith and the word you've given me and help me, God, as a shepherd, lead them to greener pastures. Help me, Father, to nurse them to grow tonight spiritually stronger with your word. Bless these people, and I pronounce a blessing on them, health, wealth, and spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, and somebody claim it and shout amen. Amen. He's a good God. I said he's a good God. All right, let's get at it. You can be seated. It is to be noted that what we desire to see in our battles will not come by being a passive person. Passive means allowing what happens without response or resistance. We cannot win a battle without giving any response. Everybody pay attention. Look at me. I'm preaching tonight. Get off your phones. Don't play your games, tic-tac-toe, and all that junk going on. Get off your movies. We at church. Amen. I'm getting older, and I'm fixing to get a little meaner. I'm going to start walking aisles. Say, hey, adult, put your phone up. You want the kids right? You do right. Amen. All right, I come to pastor. It's to be noted that what we desire to see in our battles will not come by being a passive person. That means a passive means allowing what happens without response or resistance. The victory saints of God that we desire will only come by what we're standing and fighting for a victory. Victory is the result of a constant fight to see a victory every day. A victory will not come without a fight. Can I tell you tonight? Your adversary is not a quitter. I said your adversary is not a quitter. He's not going to quit because you're crying. He ain't going to quit because you curled up on the couch. He's not going to quit because you stayed home from church. He's rejoicing because he's forced so much on you that you've given into it and you stayed home and given into the Spirit. Can I tell you tonight? The adversary, the devil, ain't going to quit. God is looking for a church that will rise up against the violence that's come against us, and we turn the violent on our enemy. You're not going to win a battle by standing there and playing a pat of cakes with the devil on a pew. Somebody's got to get violent with your worship. You got to get violent with your praise. You got to get violent with your praying. And you got to get violent with the word of God. And said, I declare, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hear me tonight. He desires to defeat your faith in God. The longer he can prolong the battle in your life, the greater the chance is for him to defeat your faith and our faith. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Our answer to the battle is fight until victory comes. I said fight until victory comes. Fight until victory comes. Fight until victory comes. Some of you don't even have a clue what God's name's going on in this world. But hell's after our children. He's after our grandchildren. He's after our homes. He's after our brothers and sisters. And some of you so cocked back, laid back, you don't even know what's going on. The devil is after us. I said he's after us, but it's going to take the violent to stand up and take back what he's taken. Our answer to the battle is fight until victory. We suffer violence. Can you shout amen? Counsel people last 2 weeks, my God, so much hell is raised up against people's lives and families. So much the devil's doing. We suffer violent, yet the violent must take it by force. You're not going to get what you need sitting there passively. No, you're not. The Spirit's got on me this week, and I'm going to tell you. I'm telling you, I'm tired of telling you something, and you're not listening. I'm going to start declaring it, thus saith the Lord. And if you don't listen, you're going to pay for it. I'm here to tell you now, whatever hell's taken from you, it's going to take a fight with everything in us to get violent with our enemy and take it back. You mean, Pastor, we can take it back if you're willing to fight, if you're willing to pray, if you're willing to fast. I'm here to tell you, there ain't nothing that we can't get back. There ain't nothing that we can't overcome. But it's going to take a people that will stand up and quit getting sitting there and stand up and say, hey, I'm in it, Pastor. I'm ready to get violent. I'm ready to fight like I ain't never fought before. Somebody praise him. Now I come with love. I come with passion. Now I know I'm going to call some things out. If that gets on your toes, I do it because I love you. I'm not here, but God, I'm not going to beat on you. I'm going to try to bring conviction. Are you with me? If you ain't, there's six other Pentecostal churches down the road. Some quit because they don't like the way I'm telling them. I know some are gathering them in because they all go to the same one because they don't have no authority to tell them what to do right. Are you ready? Let me tell you something. That devil's after to destroy our homes. He's after to destroy our kids, our grandkids, our health, and to take our wealth. He don't care how much we cry. He don't care how much we rejoice. He don't care how holy you live and I live. He's after to destroy us. But I'm here to tell you, the voice of the Lord has spoken in my spirit. He said, tell the church has got to rise up with a violent spirit and fight the violence that's come against him. We can take it back. Somebody shout, I can take it back. Second Samuel 23:11, the Lord spoke to me. I'm telling you, men of God's been on something. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agag, the Hirite. And the Philistines were gathered together, and there's a troop, where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. Now understand this. Shammah was the son of Haggai who had to make a stand. Somebody shout, he had to make a stand. One day the Philistines gathered together to attack the Israelites who had a field of lentils. Hear me. They were attacked to take away their food that they had labored for their family. A valuable piece of ground. That the lentils that would feed their family. You understand, the enemy's after our valuables. I said, get off your phones. I said, the devil's after our valuables. He's after our sons. He's after our daughters. He's after our wives, our husbands, our brothers and our sisters. He's after our valuables. You hear me? The Bible said the Israelites saw the Philistines coming in. And all the Israelites fled the field. But one man, he said, hold on. I ain't giving up this field. Somebody's got to be anointed in this house tonight to rise to their feet and say, enough is enough. I've had enough, devil. You've taken enough from my family. You've taken enough from my church. You've taken enough from our country. You've taken enough from my friends. I'm going to stand here and fight you. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to fight until I see a victory. I'm going to fight until you're destroyed. Somebody shout, stand. Say, stand. Woo. I'm hoping you feel what I feel. If you don't, I'm going to come scream in your ear. The adversary will attack the source of your life and my life that we need to sustain us. He doesn't care how important it is to us. He's going to attack. Somebody shout, he's going to attack. Say, it's coming. Say, it's coming. As the Philistines came in to attack, the Israelites fled the field. They didn't have what Shammah had. They didn't have the desire. They didn't have the fight. Do you quit every job you have a problem on? Do you leave your spouse over every problem? Do you quit school and sports over disagreements with the coach? Why you quit church then? I'm coming to you. I'm coming, no hireling. You don't pay me to say what you want. I'm bringing a voice of God. It's going to get better. Hang on. I'm here to tell you, he's going to attack me and you. He's going to see, Brother Steve, just what he can do to bust your family up. He's going to see how he can destroy your life and my life. He wants to take our faith away from a God that's able to do anything and all things. The level of importance is the level of fight you're willing to fight. Shammah stood his ground. Oh, we've got to stand. Somebody shout, stand our ground. You got to stand in the place that you will not give the adversary. Don't give up and don't stop fighting. Don't give up and don't stop fighting. Don't give up, don't stop fighting. Don't give up, don't stop. What have I got to do, Pastor? You ready? You got to pray fast. Worship, pray, 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 fast. Worship. You have to pinpoint where you will. You got to pinpoint where you want prayer to go. As you fight, you got to pinpoint right where you desire a victory. This is a battle. And the winner is those who will not give up or give in. How long? I don't know how long, but I know we can win the battle. My God, some of you are so passive tonight. I'm here to tell you there's an anointing that's got to fall on this house that'll be aggressive. That's got to be aggressive in the spirit of praise and worship and prayer and faith. You've got to be aggressive. You hear me now? I feel my God. I feel Him here. As you fight, you got to pinpoint right where you desire to win. You hear me? Somebody shout amen. Amen. Pinpoint it. Luke 18. Yeah. Luke 18, 1. Jesus spake a parable to them to this end, that the men ought always to pray and not faint. Pray. Don't you give up. Pray. Don't quit. Pray. Don't stop. Pray. Don't backslide. Pray. Don't quit. Pray. Don't give up. Jesus is saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, nor neither regarded man, didn't care. And there was a widow in that city that she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. She went to the judge's house. Hey! Hey! I got trouble out here. She didn't stand at the door and go, hello, is anyone home? You're going to get your butt kicked all over this world if you don't rise up with some aggression. Amen. You laugh all you want to. I told Brother Emery, he stood on the phone about an hour and a half. I said, can I say another word? He started laughing his head off. I said, that's the only reason they'll listen to me if I say the other word. You're going to get your act all over the place. Because that's all the time you listen to the bad words. I'm here to tell you now, we got to fight. If you want to win, you got to get up off your hind end and you got to fight like you never fought before. This whining, this crying, and this, oh me, oh my, it's got to stop. We got to raise our fists, raise our hands, raise our voice and our spirit and say, I will not quit. I will not give in. I will not back down. We're going to take this victory back. We're going to take this land back. We're going to take my family back. Come on, somebody. Oh, y'all got to blame him. He would not, somebody shout, he wouldn't for a while. Anybody been there? Oh, there's four or five of us. Rest of you, guess what? It's coming to you. Raise your hand if you've been there. Now look at that. Everybody knows what Jesus is talking about. You've waited for a while. But after he said within himself, though I fear not God or regard man, go on to the next one. Yet because this widow troubleth me, you got to be in God's ear every day. Is here every day. I know some of you got stories where God did this for me and God did that for me and God did this and I prayed on. You got one story to tell. That's all you got to tell. You think God certifies you not to pray anymore. I'm here to tell you now, God did a lot for me, but there's a lot I need done. There's a whole lot I need done from Him. How many need some God need to be done in your life? I know I'm right because the voice of the Lord spoke to me for you tonight. He said, me. He said, I will avenge her. The judge said, I've heard her aggravate. hate me so much that I'm going to get myself up, go to the door, open the door, and I'm going to avenge. I'm going to take vengeance out on the trouble that's troubling her. You sit there like a noddle. Come up. I'm telling you, Jesus said, you trouble me so much, I'm going to get up and I'm going to give your devil some hell. I'm going to give your enemy some hell. I'm going to avenge your enemy back what's doing it to you. My God, I hear you, Father. You make fun of our spiritual life coaches. I'll tell you why. Tell you why some of you are not committed. Because you're ashamed. I pray. You don't pray every day. You don't do it. You don't even read your Bible every day. I know I'm right. Because I'm a shepherd. I know. Divorce, you hold on. I'm going to tell you what, God. You hold on right there in the pew. Yeah, because the widow troubled me. I did what she aggravated me. So every day, Brother Josh, I go to God. I'm fixing to aggravate you again. It ain't happened. Here we go. You hear me? This is the trouble I need you to take care of. Lest by her, everybody say continue. Not one day, not one little prayer. I'm not calling no names because it's going to be recorded. But everybody will know this. This lady's daughter's got cancer and she's dying. Probably in the next few days. It don't look good. But you know what she told me the other day? She said, I beat myself all the time because I should have been faithful. I said, hold on. Don't let the devil beat your faith out of God because of that. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to use your weaknesses and your failures to take your faith away from a mighty God. I'm here to tell you now. She's repented of her sin. She's got things under the blood. So if she goes on, she's in a better hand than me and you are. So you rejoice because God gave her mercy. Don't let the devil take your victory. Don't let the devil take your victory. Don't you let the devil take your victory. It ain't your fault. I wish somebody scream, it ain't my fault. You hear me now. You listen to me now. Yeah, because the widow troubled me, how I avenged her. You see, always pray and not faint. You can't give up. Don't give up. Somebody shout, keep praying. Say, keep praying. Jesus gives us the parable to give hope to those of us that need to hear this. This parable was to let us know to obtain vengeance over an adversary, it takes persistence. It takes every day getting up. You're going to make me, you're pushing me there. I'm going to go somewhere that's nasty. This humanism spirit is ruling churches. I'm fixing to get all up in that nest. Humanism. You hear me now? That devil's a liar. He wants me and you to be convinced that God can't take care of our avenger. Follow me. You listen to me. It takes persistence. That you're praying and fasting and worship, it will get the judge's attention. Don't stop. Can God heal me? Yes, he can. Can God turn around? Yes, he can. Can God open doors? Yes, he can. Can God make a way? Yes, he can. Persistence from the word of God is what manifests a change over adversity, a battle, or circumstances. It will. You hear me now. You hear me right now. Elijah went to top of Mount Carmel to pray for rain. There had been a famine in the land. A famine. Somebody shout, there had been. This needed to end. Say, it needed to end. Has anybody got anything that needs to end? I'm going to go down the list. Family situations. Don't look at me that way. I'll call you out in the whole. Everybody, we got some devils up in our families. We got some Lots in our family. That Lot's put there to cause strife. We didn't put them there, but somebody else got their hand and brought them there. Oh, you quiet on me, you humanistic spirit. Let me tell you something. That devil don't want us to get what God has. Now follow me. Elisha goes up to the mountaintop of Mount Carmel. This needed to end because he spoke it into existence. And he needed to pray until it ended. There's some things that we have caused on ourselves. Only prayer is going to change. Let me say it again. There's some things we have spoken and done that's caused on ourselves that only prayer is going to change. I got a feeling there's some things about to happen. Bible said he gets on his knees, puts his head between his knees, and he begins to pray. It doesn't say how long he prayed, but he could have prayed 7 hours. He could have. I believe as human as fleshy he is, his self-will probably questioned him. He stayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Until he saw the cloud size of a man's hand. How long do I pray? You pray, you pray, you pray. My God, you folk, you pray and you pray and you pray. Get your hands up. Push that down. Some of you sitting here tonight, you need things to do. I'm tired. I don't care how tired you are. I don't care how wear out you are. You better put them hands up. I don't care what you're going through. You better put those hands up. You better praise him. You better, oh, yeah. You folks, oh, that devil's after you. He'll be after your wife or you for long. He'll be after your grandkids for long. He'll be after you again for long. You're sitting around here in maze like nothing ain't happening. We're in a battle, baby. The battle ain't stopped. But you hear me? Elisha prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, until he saw a cloud size of a man's hand. You listen to me. I'm going to say something, but I got to disguise what I'm fixing to say. All week long, I've been walking and talking with the Lord. The other day, I was praying, and I was doing my cardio. I've been walking, and I'm going to get on you lazy folks. You ain't going to have nothing if you don't get up and move. You know it's a sin to procrastinate? James 4:7, know what to do right and do it to not to him is a sin. Get quiet on me, humans. I'm going to get on something right now. No, I'm not going to wait. But the other day I was walking, I was praying in the hole, and I was running. And Brother Steve, I'm getting a little better at it. You know, but our youth ain't there. And I got a little windy and I stopped and I was praying. I started praying. I was thinking on God. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost came on me. And I stopped. Closed my eyes. And I was praying for someone that I needed God to talk to. And I said, Lord, I called him 2 times last week and they didn't return my call. And I closed my eyes. I said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do me as Paul as you did John on the Isle of Patmos. Transfer my spirit to them. Now hold on, guys. You ain't even prayed this. You don't even know what. You don't know if Jesus is here tonight or not, some of you. And in my prayer, you hear me, Brother Eddie? I'll be judged at judgment. My spirit left my body. I went into the place where he was. I walked up to him. I put my arms around him. I said, this is so-and-so. And I said, don't you know I love you and we love you? Now, when I leave, I want you to pick your phone up. You hear me? And I want you to call me. I turn around in my spirit. And I come back where I was standing. 3 minutes later, my phone rung. Now, I know all you sit here bug-eyed looking at me like I'm crazy. That white-headed dude done gone crazy. I don't give a flip what you think tonight. I'm here to tell you now in the Holy Ghost, we got a battle going on, and we got a storm raging. You hear me right now. You hear me. It's coming. But God said, I can do that for anybody. I can look on your spirit and see if you've been with God. I'm telling you right now. He's in this room. How bad do you want to win? How bad do you want to overcome? How bad do you want to have a victory in your life? I'm here to tell you that enemy's trying to tell you you can't win. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. You can have a victory in your life. Joshua, six tales. The Lord spoke to me and I had a vision. It's me that has an adversary that I want to see changed. Anybody? You got any people you want changed? Events changed? A nation changed? A community changed? But see, the adversary fights in our minds as we pray. Look at your prayers. They haven't done any good. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Follow me now. We face to hit a road. Run. Yet God remind me that getting into the place to see walls fall, I'll have to be consistent with my praise, my prayer, and my fasting. Israel, follow this, had to walk around the walls of Jericho 7 days. To walk around the walls of Jericho one time, it took an hour and a half for them to walk around it one time. In 6 days, it took 9 hours of their time to walk around the wall. On the seventh day, they spent 10 hours and a half walking around the wall. But it took 19 and a half hours. Oh, you say, I don't want to walk. It hurts my feet, hurts my back. That's why you got to walk, to build your strength. Half hours. You ever sit here? I got to go 19 and a half hours. I ain't sitting here no 19 and a half hours. I got to go to work, school. My kids got to go to school. I got to go to work. 19 and a half hours. God said, if you would do it, those walls will fall. You do it, those walls will fall. Take that finger and clean that ear out. If you do it, those walls will fall. I said they'll fall. I said they'll fall. I said they'll fall. I said they will fall. I don't care what's keeping you from the promises of God. If it's trying to block you from blessings, if it's trying to block you from progress, if it's trying to block you from a miracle, you keep walking. 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 They're going to fall. It disturbs me when I watch people sit in church, ain't even moved by the Holy Ghost like this. 1 Peter 3:12. 1 Peter 3:12. I'm going to say, I don't want to offend nobody. God judged my spirit. You can take me wrong or right, but I'm right and I got a burden tonight. Anybody feel that? If you don't, you backslid anyway. Listen to me, children of God. Here's a word for you. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. When the devil tells you God ain't looking at you, it's a lie. And his ears, oh my God, are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. First Peter 5:7. You ready? Casting all your cares on him. For he don't care for you. What? For he careth for you. I want to take a bucket of water with a glass and walk around and throw it in some of his face and maybe you'll wake up to this right here. That devil's been lying to you. God does care for you. Quit listening to his lies. Somebody shout, he does care. All hell may be broken again, but God cares how you feel. He cares what you're going through. He cares about your prayers. He cares. First John 5:14, please. This is the confidence. This is the confidence. This is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth. He heareth. Somebody shout, he's hearing me. Some of you need to get violent. You need to get off your little passive little attitude of worship and pray. Pastor, I'm not. You may be handicapped. That's a different story. And all you can do is that. Thank God for all of that. You see, wait a minute. You ready? God knows what you'll do at a ball game, but he knows what you'll do at church. Some of you sit there so passive like, I don't say nothing. You get a ball game, you almost cuss the referee. Hey, that's a round call! You ought to be screaming tonight and say, hey, devil, you're a liar! You ought to be screaming at the devil. He's telling you, you ain't going to make it. We have the greatest weapon to defeat our adversary, and that's prayer and fasting. To take control of the spirit that had control of the young boy. The father brought him to him. The disciples couldn't cast him out. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, because you couldn't do it, because you lost your power. He said, this power cometh by prayer and fasting. You can't overcome a spirit through prayer and fasting. You see, prayer changes the battle. Who has the greatest dominion in the field? How much do I have to do before I see it change? When you're praying for a change, you got to pinpoint where the prayer and fasting needs to focus on. Daniel 10. Daniel began to fast and pray for the people of Israel. His prayer was fought against by the prince of Persia. The devil will fight and try to block your prayer from reaching the place that you're pinpointing. What do? You keep praying and you keep fasting. There's an answer that God has for the battle. Mark 11 and 24. Ain't it amazing how we'll holler at a ball game? We can't even holler at church. I told you, you blame him. I think it's pretty good myself. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. Faith without works is dead. Laziness ain't gonna get you nothing in life. You hear me now. Esther 4, 16. I'm going somewhere. Has anybody heard anything? Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shiloh, and fast ye from me, she said. And neither eat or drink 3 days, night and day. Also in my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go into the king, where I could go into the king. She wasn't allowed to go into the king unless the king requested her to go. If she went without a request, she would die. Haman had set up a plot trying to kill all the Jews, the seeds of the devil. He made a plot to kill them all. Esther found out about it, so she went to pray and fast. Prayer and fasting changes things. Prayer opens doors for people to come out of. Acts 12 and 5. Oh. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing the church unto God for him. Somebody shout for him. The church prayed without ceasing for him. They pinpointed what they needed to pray for. Don't stop praying. Our prayers are affecting the lives of those that are helped by captive spirits. It doesn't say how long the church prayed. It just said they prayed without ceasing. Come on, grandmas. Come on, papas. Come on, mom and dads. We need to get up off our passive self and get violent with the devil who's trying to take our children, our grandchildren, and say, I ain't sitting here no more. I'm going to fight you like I ain't ever fought you. I read this the other day and the Lord just brought it back. You can tell me all kind of health issues or reason you don't move. But we move when we want to go on vacation. I'm coming somewhere. I'm here to tell you, God is in this house. It doesn't say how long the church prayed, but they prayed without ceasing. They prayed until God. Woo! They prayed until God sent an angel. You got to pinpoint where you want them to go. I believe they prayed for the door to open, and the door opened. You got to pinpoint what needs your prayers to do. One thing the devil fights so much, and this, I'm going to step off in some deep stuff right now. And I read this to my wife before church. Who helped me, Jesus? One thing the devil fights so much and tries to kill our prayer life is that he tries to tell us because of our sinful ways, our nature, we can't be effective. I hit the nail on the head. Now, I better roll my britches legs up because this fish gets some deep, you know what, here. You ready? I don't know if you are. Paul said this, Romans 7:15. I'm reading it out of Brother Marlon, your Bible tonight, my study Bible, Amplified Study Bible. If y'all got a hard time understanding, I done told many to get the Amplified right to it. She'll tell you right now. Get that Amplified Study Bible. It's the most, I got six Bibles I study, but this is the most in-depth, informational Bible you'll ever get a hold of. Paul said this in Romans 15, I go through 20. He said, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I am agreeing with the law is good. Now, some people use the law to give them excuse to do wrong. You don't even understand what the law is. The law in the Old Testament was given by Israel at Mount Sinai because they needed to know how to live right for God. Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, gets the law, brings it down, and God reveals to them then what sin was. The law revealed to them sin, don't do it. But then, only thing they had to give them strength was the law. And the law couldn't give them what the Holy Ghost could give us today. The Holy Ghost gives us strength to stand against our human nature. Here we go. He said, but I know. But he said, if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing. I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. You have the Holy Ghost, but your sinful nature is still alive. I'm going to help you if you'll follow me and get that stuff out of your ear. And I know that nothing good lives in. I know nothing good lives in me. He said, that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. He said, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Verse 20. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. Now I'm going to step off in it. This is it. When you live for God, your sinful nature is still alive. So the confusion is, Pastor, what if I prayed 3 days and fasted 10 days and all of a sudden the rise of sexual activity rises up in my mind? It didn't come from the Holy Ghost. It come from your sinful nature. But the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, God put in you, is to give you strength to fight against the sinful nature that you still live with. That nature's going to die when they put you 6 foot under. But thank God for the Holy Ghost, because every one of us in here has a sinful nature that rises up in us, and the devil uses it to tell us that we're not worthy to pray and God ain't going to hear our prayer. Anybody understand that? How many did that help already right then? Now I'm going to walk off a little deeper. Paul said, our sinful nature. Say sinful nature. The devil uses that to fight us. Talking to old Bishop Dave, if I call this sin out, it hits your house, I'm not against you, I'm for saving your soul. You ready? I'm for saving your soul. Understand, every one of every individual in this room fights something in sinful nature. Every day I get up, I go to battle. Some of you ain't even gonna move. You ain't even gonna grin. while you're grinning, looking at me, your brain's thinking, oh, God, oh, Jesus, how's he know? I know, I know. Yeah, I did that today. You probably did. I'm as well as the head. Go ahead, Jesus. You got my back. We want to preach against people alcoholism. It's a sin. It's going to cause you to be lost. God said in the Ten Commandments, don't have no other idol before me. If you look up the word idol, and I did a lot of research and reading today. An idol is something you believe in and put your trust in and comfort in to give you comfort. Don't look at nobody and judge nobody, because I'm going to go down a list. We preach against people who are hooked on crack cocaine or meth and marijuana. Marijuana is a portal for all these drugs. All of you that vote for smoke marijuana for a painkiller, I'm against it. It's a portal for other drugs. If they can make a pill out of everything else, why can't they make a pill out of that stuff? I went before the House in Mississippi, and I said, you're just opening up portals for other things for families to fight. I said, it ain't even FDA? It ain't even approved. I said, why don't you make a pill out of it where they can take it for pain? But they don't smoke it. I go down the road down here behind cars, and I can smell it like a dope dog. Smoking weed. So, you know, we say, preach on dope. Preach on pornography. Preach on homosexuality. Preach on fornication. Oh, it's a sin. Preach on it. Preach on pastor. Preach on it. Preach on it. Oh, I'm going to preach on it. I'm going to preach on you. You fallen addictions. The same spirit that those poor people that are hooked on that stuff that's got them enslaved. When you stay on that stinking phone and you're so hooked to it, your fingers just jerking because you can't put your number. You're addicted. Same spirit. I called the prophet and I said, I don't know. He said, where'd you get this stuff? I said, blame him. You get curled up. There's six other churches. Some will pet you. You're doing okay. The old prophet gave me a prophesy today. He said, you keep doing straight because God's going to empty some of them. They're going to run to the truth. The same spirit that fights some of you are eating. Well, God made food for us to live on. Yeah, he made some of those drugs for us to live and have no pain on, but they abuse them. I'm pointing to painting a picture. That same spirit that those poor people are hooked, and I say poor, I feel sorry for them. They're in a prison. They're in a dark hole. The same spirit that's hooked on pills, the same spirit that's hooked on food, the same spirit hooked on tobacco stuff. Don't tell your kids how to do it when you're doing it in front of them. Here we go, Jesus. Let me put an icing on the cake. That spirit right there I'm calling out is humanism. Because when you preach against it, humanism rises up and says, nope, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what the preacher says. So God can't move and do what he needs to do because humanism is controlling the area and the air. All you husbands and wives, you got one. Amen. I'm going to preach on some of this later on. I'm going to fix it out there. I got to land this plane. Let me tell you something. Your house is holy. Right. And what's between you and your wife and your husband ain't nobody else's business. Right. You hear me? I would throat punch somebody to talk about my wife. Probably knock their teeth out. Because that's my queen. You better honor her and honor him as God has said. God loves the church, the man's love his wife. But when humanism rises up, even in a family, let me tell all you moms something. I'm going to get out as well to clean the tree tonight. But tell all you moms and daddies something. You're your kids' parents. You ain't their freaking best friend. What in the world's got you stirred up? You'd be surprised what got me stirred up. You'd be surprised. I'm here to tell you, I love my boys. I love Adam and Jake and Hannah. I'd fight all hell for them. Even when they fall into sin, Brother Eddie, I still love them. Even when they do wrong, I love them. I'll fight for them. I'll take up for them. I'll do whatever. But one thing about it, I'm their parent. And I still tell them what's wrong and what is right. If they don't like it, I'm still their daddy. You can't buy your kids enough stuff to make them do right. You know why? Because they live as a human being. They have a spirit called self-will. Get over it. My daughter right now, I love her. We're closer now than she was growing up because, you know, you get on them, they don't like you. Let me tell you what humanism does today in our churches, Brother Roy. Humanism says you don't need to correct them like the old ones did. You ain't got to whip them no stretch, no belt. I don't believe in that stuff. You go against the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We don't need the law at Mount. We don't need this law, Moses. We don't need that law. So in other words, your humanistic teaching you got from a college or a book or somebody else counseling goes against the Word of God. It said if you don't chase it, his soul, he can't be saved. I don't care what you believe. The Word of God tells us, my God, we got to correct our children. Not only in a belt to switch, but there's got to be some correction and lines drawn. What in God's name are you going? You hold on, I'm going there. You got to make some correction and a stand on God's word to get a hold of evil and to get a hold of the devil and let him know you ain't coming up in this house. What do you say all that stuff for? I'm saying it because it's in the Word of God. Now I'm going to bring it all together. Those spirits, when you become a failure, when you fail flat of your face, when you've had a mess in your life, that devil uses it to tell you, God ain't going to hear your prayer. He ain't going to answer you. He ain't going to come to your need. Although your children fall, Samuel's children fail. He was a righteous preacher. He told them and raised them right, but they failed. Man, I got to say this before I close. Mom and Daddy, if you did right, you ain't got no worries. Hold on. But Brother Rogue, you know what our worry is? You know what our worry is? We know the Word of God. When kids do wrong and they don't get right, we know the consequences of sin. That's what birds me and you. Is that right? So all of you that want to pet your kids and they're buddy-buddy and, oh, we're good friends, you make me sick. They're your children. You're their parents. You can love them and kind. And let me tell you something. If buying stuff would save them, my daughter had already been in heaven. I bought them horses. I bought them guns. I bought them toys. Sister Deborah, I bought them everything in the world. But it's their choice. It ain't mine or yours. So here, Sister Wilmaine's come. They're ready for me to close. The bottom line, I see what I see, and I know what I know. And I know there's a battle raging, and some of you ain't got a clue. You think, that devil ain't going to touch my kids. That devil ain't going to touch my kids. We know it on Bustee. Because look how godly my son is, how godly my daughter is. I don't care how godly they are. They got a self-will. And when they're ruled by humanistic rules, you're giving power to their will. Anybody understand what I said? Here's my answer to everything I preached. The devil don't want us to live by God's word. Amen or not? He don't want us to live by God's word. If you're going to have something, I can't get it for you. Sister Diane can't get it for you. You got to get up, get it for yourself. I got to get it for myself. What I need, you can't get it for me. I know you would probably try. If we're going to get any victory from our family, Sister Deborah, we got to fight with violence. Even with kids, we put down rules. I don't want to do that. Shut up. You're doing it anyway. My mama told me I was going to church. She didn't ask me. My dad said, you're going to the house of God. And all them whippings, Brother Cody, it didn't hurt you. Look at the man it made out of you. Anybody following? Humanism. I'll do what I want to do. But the devil takes one of the greatest things in my life, and God revealed it. He'll use your sinful nature against your faith. Am I right, Bud Patterson? Am I right, Ma? He'll stop you from praying. He'll stop you from fasting. He'll stop you from worshiping. I'm a failure. Paul even said, he said, wait a minute, boys. He said, I did the thing which I would not do, yet I did not want to do it because of the sinful nature. Understand, you need to hear the voices in you. The voice of sinful nature and the voice of the Spirit. Anybody hear me? Stand to your feet. I'll preach this some more on another time. Anybody hear anything? But it didn't make sense. My God. This is the code that makes sense. But Marla, everybody say it's don't stop. Say we got to get violent. We got to get violent with our praise, with our worship. We got to get violent with our praying. You're not a pastor, so you don't know my heart. You don't. When you're beat on and you come talk to me or I see it being the devil beating on you, I get mad. It hurts me. I get angry. I'll tell you a secret. Sometimes I can't even sleep. You don't even know that. I can't even sleep. Well, you're taking it lightly. You're coming and sitting there. I'm worrying myself to death. See, I know the tricks of the devil, the vice of the devil. I know what he's doing. I know when he's doing it. You know what the problem with rebellion is? Problem with rebellion is when somebody rebels, they can affect other people to rebel, Brother Jerry. So you know why Satan wants you to fall? He rebelled. He rebelled in heaven. He wants you to rebel. Come on. Say, I can't quit. Say, I can't stop. Can't stop. Can't stop. Can I say this in closing? Mom, Dad, what you say in the front of your kids about what I preach, and when you need me to help them, because you kill my faith in their life, I can't help them. I don't like what he said. I don't like how he preached. Old Bishop today said, I'm sure there's some kids and grandkids going to be lost because some grandparent or mom and dad didn't like what you said and said in front of them. So when you preached, you couldn't affect them. So they rebelled and they backslid. I said, oh my God. He said, I can tell you, he told me a story about a family in his church. It happens everywhere. Satan don't want us to live for God. God bless you. Let's lift our hearts and hands to him, saints. Say, don't quit. Say, don't stop. Come on, I want you to talk to him. Come on. Come on. Don't stop. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Those walls are going to fall. We impact, I don't know. But keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep worshiping. And don't let your human nature, don't let it kill your faith. Don't let it destroy your walk. Because the devil's going to use it against you. Come on. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He'll strengthen you. He'll help you. Come on, I feel the mighty power.
We pray today that this word has blessed you, ministered to the needs of your life. Until next time, God bless you.